professional man of geekery, the intrepid archgeekologist, Indiana Jill.
You have chosen wisely.
Will I never be your hometown hero? I guess that's just the way that it goes. You always say that I'm a night and zero. I guess I'm not cut out. I guess it shows.
Hey, I bet you never thought you'd hear that again anytime soon. Oh boy. Where did July go? I'm kind of at a loss here. July seems like it's gone. August seems like it's pretty much gone. This will feature basically just part three of the T. Morris interview. That's pretty much it. Just because I don't really have a lot of content at this point to talk about. Now, the principles of Farpoint Media probably haven't had much time to wonder where Indiana Jim and his little podcast have gone to, what with the Parsec Awards and Dragon Con coming up. We'll fill you in on a few details. The Thesis Fantasy project, about halfway done, I would say halfway complete. Part one, I'm just figuring out what music to put. Everything, all the sound is done and everything. Part two, thankfully, won't need a whole lot of sound work. Too much dialogue going on. The dialogue is the point. Kind of put some crowd effects in there, you know, a little bit of music, but that's it. And having a lot of fun with it, because I got some really good parts from people. Rich Siegfried, did a very good job as one of the main characters. Jack Mangan was absolutely terrific, just hilarious with his deadpan delivery. And another one of note, his name is Chris. I can't remember his last name, but he frequents a lot of the Star Wars Fanworks audio dramas. He turned in a fantastic performance as the King. You wouldn't think of his voice as a King voice, but it fits the story perfectly. I mean, it's just absolutely great. Christiana Ellis is going to get a co-writing credit for some of the lines for one of the characters. So, big thank you to her, right? Oh my gosh. I'm so sick and tired of people that go, I know, right? Gosh. Oh, you sound so Canadian when you do that. Just kidding, Dickie. Got a lot of people following my updates on Twitter. About 30 or so people. So, it's about half my listenership. Hope you're not missing me too bad. Anyway, I really have nothing else to say. We were in California for a week. This month, August, back a while ago. There's a blooper, but I'm not going to edit this because I don't really care to take the time. Visited some family. My grandparents flew us out for a week. I'm from there, around the Sacramento area, Auburn, California, which Sean from Adventures in Sci-Fi Publishing is from the Sacramento area, so we have a little bit of kinship there. We went out to San Francisco, did not get to meet Scott Sigler because for some reason he never responded and said, yeah, I'll be in San Francisco, or no, I won't. He responded about everything else I emailed to him except for that part for whatever reason. Maybe he doesn't want me stalking him or something. But San Francisco was absolutely wonderful, and I would live there in a heartbeat if I could, but can't, so won't. Oldest daughter started first grade. That's fun. Once you've been through kindergarten, everything else is like, yeah, big whoop-de-doo, right? Oh, I did it again. I said, right. You know, more and more, this podcast is sounding like Tagging the Seam, except a lot more clean. Not really any news to share, other than we've learned that John Williams will likely score the Deathly Hallows film, the finale to the Harry Potter series, which should be exciting. That should be in 2010. Should be in 10. Wow, how are you going to say 10? Just 10? We'll do it in 10. I'm like, 10 minutes? 10, no, 10, 2010. It just doesn't work. 10? I don't think I like either way this is turning out. Dragon Con should be exciting. I'm not going, so that should be great, right? So I might play a promo, and then we'll get right into part three of T. Morris. This is Things Are Looking Up. I am your host, Indiana Jim.
Hey, this is Jack Mangan, the man behind the Spherical Tomy patio book and novel, Duel of the Fates Seasons 1 and 2, Dirk Moonfire, and a bunch of other stuff. But what I want to talk to you about right now is the Jack Mangan Deadpan Podcast. I'm doing my own thing with skits, interviews, original music, original fiction, and curse words. Subscribe to the feed and see if I can pull it off, or if I fall flat on my face. Either way, it's entertaining for you.
Now, you've been writing for a while, but you said only like 5 years, really, as a professional writer.
Well, being going paid out, for it, but yeah.
Paid for it. You've been going out to cons and promoting yourself like a wild man. And it's pretty strange thinking, you know, you haven't been in the game for very long, but you hit the ground running, it seems like.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's this crazed promoter freakish person, you know, that everybody talks about. T the Mouth Morris.
Yeah, there you go.
And most people accept that an author who has books published are going to go out to cons and put themselves out there, and, you know, they're writers. That's kind of what they do. But are podcasters anywhere close to finding that kind of legitimacy, or is it simply the fact that writers make money doing what they do and podcasters don't?
You know,
I mean, is that what lends the weight to it?
The hardest part about podcasting and about, you know, podcasters that now when you say the legitimacy, I cringe on that. I mm-hmm. really do.
Well, and it's a poor choice of words, really.
Well, no, but it's absolutely true. Mm. I mean, I have been on panels with Hutch, and I have been on the same panel there was another author, and I will just leave it at that. Another author who threw his weight around and reminded all of us in a very snooty sort of way that he had a lot more credentials when it came to publishing than any of us on the panel.
Wasn't that a Whiskey Tango Foxtrot moment?
No, it wasn't. No, I've actually kept this one. I've kept this one under my hat because, I did not. This guy's not worth my time.
Oh.
I've come to the conclusion that this guy is not worth my time, especially because the panel was about podcasting fiction, and at that time, he hadn't podcast a word of fiction.
Right.
He's a podcaster, and he's got publishing credentials,
mm-hmm.
but he had not podcast one word of fiction. And, of course, he was telling us how to do things. I have not read any of this gentleman's work, and every time I try to give this guy the benefit of the doubt, he just pulls something else, and I go, you know what? I don't even think I want to read your work. I do not want one penny of my hard-earned cash going into your pocket. I mean, that's what I've come to the conclusion about with this gentleman, and I use the term very loosely. But the thing is that I could tell you this much. If his work is half as pretentious as he is, I know I'm going to enjoy J.C. Hutchins, an unpublished author, much more than I will enjoy him.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Sigler. I mean, Scott Sigler's work was unpublished until Dragon Moon Press. And in my opinion, Dragon Moon Press has two of the – whoops. There I am dropping coins again. Scott Sigler's got two of the best novels – two of his best podcast novels published Dragon Moon, Ancestor mm-hmm. and The Rookie. Those are my two favorites. Those are my two favorites. Those are my favorites, and I'm thrilled that Dragon Moon Press got them.
So no small thanks to your recommendation.
actually, the recommendation was, Gwen, you're going to hear from a guy named Scott Sigler. Just do me a favor. Say yes.
Yeah.
Just say yes. But other people who are unpublished, and yet they are absolutely phenomenal at what they do. Christiana Ellis. As I've dubbed her, the Neil Simon of podcasting.
Yeah.
Phil Rossi. Holy cow. He is the guy coming out from coming off the bench. No one knew who this guy was, and boom, he's coming on the scene strong with Crescent.
Mm-hmm.
I heard the first Crescent vignette and I said, wow. Phil is not taking any prisoners. I've been so impressed with the amount of talent that we have showcased at patiobooks.com. And really, I have read small press books that have been absolutely phenomenal. And I have also read big corporate house books that have been total crap. You know, I really think that if you let people believe that you know, they're more legitimate than you, then yeah, that's the way it's always going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I do think, though, and this is the part – this is the hair you got to split. You can't take yourself too seriously. I understand my current status in the pecking order. I am not the big press guy, you know. I am with a small independent house based out of Calgary, Alberta, Canada. www.dragonmoonpress.com.
Plug.
that's where I'm out of. I admit that. I do not need a reminder from some higher up muckety muck that I'm with an independent house. People are buying my books, though.
Yeah.
So that's something. And just because you're with a big house is not a ticket. That is not a free ticket. You still have to promote. You still have to get out there. The difference between me and somebody with Tor, the difference between me and somebody at Bain, the difference between me and somebody at HarperCollins, the biggest difference, distribution. That's it.
Yep.
They got better distribution than me. My books can still get into Barnes & Noble. My books can still get into Borders, provided they don't screw it up. They can get anywhere. But there is no difference between me and that big press author apart from distribution.
Right.
And I tell you, I learned a lot. The best education I ever got from another author was from Terry Brooks. That guy, in my opinion, has the right to be a dick because he has got nearly 30 years under his belt. He is still writing just as ferociously as he did 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And people just line up around the block for him.
Uh-huh.
And I got a chance to – oh, and I was so nervous because he was the first fantasy novelist I ever read. He was the guy that got me into this genre. And here I am, and I'm in a car with him for 2 hours because I'm driving from Dulles to Richmond and then Richmond back to Dulles. So I was terrified that first night. But on the way back, he just we had gotten to know each other a little better. The man could not have been more friendly. He was more than just a hero to me. And wow. You know, he just basically said, you know, T, just because you have a byline doesn't make you a nice person. And mm-hmm. he says, the reason why I'm out here doing this, the reason why I'm out here promoting now is because of Harry Potter. I have to measure up to that.
Yeah.
I mean, he has got a perspective on things. He knows that at any moment this could stop. And I think that's part of where you got to get your perspective. You know, when people come up to me and they say, you know, oh, wow, I loved Moravia, I loved Billy, I say thank you. And then my heart starts to go a million miles a minute because I have a bar to clear. Now, if I'm of the mindset where, of course, you enjoyed Moravia, it's a brilliant book, then you know what? I'm in trouble. I'm in big trouble because I think that I'm indispensable because I think that I will be writing from here until the last dying breath when they pry the you know, the mouse and wireless keyboard out of my hands. But you know what? I know this could end tomorrow. If I am really one of the lucky ones, like Tracy Hickman, like Terry Brooks, like Robert J. Sawyer, I will be writing 10, 20, 25 years from now. When Tracy Hickman said it took him 14 years before he became an overnight success, that made me feel pretty freaking good, you know?
Because yeah, I'm like, oh, right.
5 years now and I'm hanging with Tracy. You know, not too bad.
Yeah. Not too bad at all. Scott Sigler is a great promoter of podcasting as the new revolution in publishing. And I'm kind of latching on to that, you know, as I mean, I'm not old by any stretch, but I'm 30 now and haven't done much with my life. You know, being married and having three kids is kind of a big deal, you know.
That's a very big deal. Are you kidding me? Heck, I got one, and it's look, Serena is kicking my ass. And so I can only imagine what it's like to have three, you know. I mean, I'm actually tempted to come over there and going, hello, my name is T. Morris, and today I am going to give Indiana Jim a break. I'm going to watch his three children. It's 3-on-1 here on Man vs. Child.
Yes, that'd be great. That'd be awesome. We could use a break. where was I going with this?
But you were about to say
very cathartic
about the revolution in podcast. Revolution in publishing.
Yes. Okay.
Podcasting.
Okay. Having all these kids and a wife puts things on hold, obviously. And as the kids are getting older, I can do more of these things now. But I'm kind of latching on to this as my last chance to really make something of myself, because I've never really been a self starter. You know, a go-getter. I've been kind of lazy, really.
You fooled me with some of your guest spots.
Well,
damn straight, yo.
Yeah, exactly. That was so cool. I was hoping to hear from TD on that one, but
he's actually slowly
thought.
Getting back into the game.
Oh, that's good.
In fact, listen for episode 15 for Billy.
Sweet.
Just listen for 15.
Oh, I'm going to go get that right after this is over. Oh, sorry for my fangasm there.
That's fine. That's fine. I appreciate the fangasm.
And of course,
yourself is all I ask.
T. Morris as my first podcast novelist I ever listened to. Scott's got this publishing revolution thing, and I'm kind of, you know, I'm like, okay, I've got this first novel that I wrote, and I spent 10 years basically writing this stupid thing.
Right.
And I'm now at the point I'm like, okay, write the first chapter how you want it, record it, let it go, you know, and I'm starting to try to get serious about this. Is this really the new revolution in publishing, or is it just the current fad? To put you on the spot.
Yeah, well, you're not necessarily putting me on the spot. I just think that you, this is going to sound really, really, really rough.
It's cool.
I don't think you understand the publishing industry and their regard towards technology.
I think I do.
Really. I thought I understood it, or I thought I really had a grasp of it. I was wrong. Let me put you this way. The major publishers of science fiction and fantasy, science fiction now, okay, science fiction, still ask for submissions that follow rules that are over 50 years old. They basically want you to submit to your they want you to submit to them, okay? They want you to submit a manuscript that is double-spaced. It's got an inch margin all the way around. If you have something in bold, it's got two asterisks next to it. If it's italics, you got to have two underscores around the words. And it's got to be in 12-point courier font. You have all the capabilities of a word processor. And they basically are turning it into a glorified typewriter.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the – and these people are – now, before, you know, somebody talks to somebody that talks to somebody and then a publisher goes, well, that dork doesn't know what he's talking about. Here's the other thing. There was a Whiskey Tango Foxtrot I gave to somebody that it was one of the major publishing houses, and it was the American Idol – of publishing to attract more people to reading. They decided to hold this American Idol contest where everybody submits a first chapter and then people vote, and they have a process of elimination until finally it's down to the one person, and then they get a book contract and all this stuff. And this is going to attract readers. How?
Yeah.
I actually had, the problem with the publishing industry is they do not understand technology. They don't want to understand technology. Yes, I understand that the rules that they're following for the submissions is so that they have standards. I mean, when I write the Podcasting for Dummies book, I have to follow certain standards. Maybe they don't make sense to me, but I understand because I have laid out books before for Dragon Moon Press. And when three people turn in a chapter and they're all formatted differently, that's a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
That's a major pain in the butt. So I understand that to an extent. But then to print it out as opposed to just sending them the file.
Yeah.
You know, that's the part that makes me go, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait. We've got this great thing called Microsoft Word. It works. It really does work. But apparently not. When people are still using proofreader marks, the paragraph symbols and the two dashes for, you know, I was astounded. I was absolutely astounded at how backwards the publishing industry is when it comes to technology.
So I still use those when I edit my own stuff.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean,
it comes from grade school, you know.
See, I never learned those. I never learned those. So, you know, it's the same people that were using. They were doing stuff in Quark and doing stuff in Page at the time, PageMaker. But then they would take it over to a table and they'd use X-Acto knives to cut it out. Little things like that. And waxers and stupid stuff like that. And I'm sitting there going, you know, it would be a lot easier if we just took a day or 2 days, rebuilt this entire form in Quark, and then all I'd have to do is double click, make the change, and we were done. Oh, no, that makes no sense whatsoever. It doesn't. I mean, technology in the publishing industry, man, I mean, it just scares them. I was so thrilled when I got the Harlequin publishing company up in Canada, they were interested in doing a podcast. And I said, well, you have one option. Or rather, I'm sorry, you have several options. And I said, and I know you're going to shut down this one option. Having somebody podcast an entire book. Phone went dead. And they went, are you serious? And I was like, yeah.
Hello.
And I said,
T. Morris here.
right. Well, no, they didn't know me from Adam. I mean, really.
Yeah.
Well, actually, they knew me from Podcasting for Dummies.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I talked to them and I said, look, I'm not saying podcast a book that is your biggest bestseller. Sure, you could. Why not? But what about the stuff that's on the backlist? You want to promote an author? They've got on the backlist a book that's either not selling or it's out of print. Have them podcast it.
Mm-hmm.
It's either going, you know, the manuscript is sitting there. Why not? And the woman was like, that makes a lot of sense. But I hear it all the time. I've had authors come up and say, talk to me more about this patio books. And I said, well, we ask that you do the whole book. And they go, the whole book? Well, yeah, the whole book. well, can I just do like five chapters and then have them go to my website so they can order the book? No. Then it's not a patio book. It's a sample. And you can put that on your website. The best part was when I literally talked some people out of doing a podcast. Now, granted, I could have fleeced these people for every penny, and or maybe not every penny, but I could have done them some damage based on what they wanted me to do. And I just my business ethics are too high. I just said, I can't do that. But
yeah.
I knew that if they went on to do a podcast, they would spend a lot of money on stuff they would never use.
Right.
So I told them, I said, well, let me ask you this: what do you want to do on the podcast? Well, we want to do something because it's cool. It's like, okay. So what?
Because it's there,
right? So what do you want to do? All right. Well, I gave them some ideas, and they were like, no, that's boring. No, that's boring. And I finally said, okay, you want to do a podcast? Yeah. You want to do something cool? Yeah. Podcast an entire book. What are you talking about? You have Stormfront. You've got Jim Butcher's first book sitting here in CD format. MP3 it. Make it episodic. Post one chapter up a week. And that's when, literally, they said these words to me. And I just kind of gave away who the client was, too. They said, T, you don't understand what goes into one of these productions, financially or technically.
I'm sorry. That's funny.
No, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, and I'm just staring at it. Because keep in
mind.
Were
you at your house? Or?
Do I?
I said, were you at your house? Could she see the studio?
Oh, No. I'll tell you one better. She saw my portable studio where I filmed an interview with Jim Butcher. using Soundtrack Pro for just the sound, and then I use and then I basically shot things from several different angles. And I said, and I looked at her, and I just had to kind of bite my bottom lip and go, I guess I don't. Because there was no way that these two people knew, they knew that if they gave it away, it was going to ruin their business. And I just looked at them and I just said, you got no freaking clue. It's that giving something away for nothing scares the crap out of people.
Yeah.
Scares the crap out of them. And I always go back to myself, Scott, Cory Doctorow, now Tracy Hickman, Paul Levinson. I mean, these guys.
Stackpole now.
Do what?
Stackpole now.
Stackpole
He's got
now.
Fortress Draconis, which right. is great.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they're giving this away. I'm curious. Has Stackpole said he is podcasting the entire book?
Pretty sure. He did say we're doing basically one chapter each time until the end. So.
Well, then okay. You know, then okay. Beautiful. Beautiful.
He is such a good dramatic reader, too.
Oh, sure.
I love it.
Yeah, he's got a great voice for it. He's got a fantastic voice for it. But no lie, the fact that you're giving away something for nothing is not crazy. It works.
Yeah.
It continues to work. My sales continue to rise at Dragon Moon Press because of podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's when people say that. It's when people say, you have no idea how much time, effort, and finances go into something like this. You know, this is when it's when people say that. When they say that to me, you have no clue. And I've got Podcasting for Dummies. I'm currently working at Expert Podcasting Practices. I have a home studio. I have created professional podcasts for not-for-profit and government agencies. But I don't know. You know, it's and all I can do in a situation like that is that's when I know that I've lost this argument.
Yeah.
Or I should say I haven't lost the argument. There is no argument. It is your side or no one else's.
Right.
So I really think the publishing industry needs to lighten up and wake up a little bit. Mm-hmm. They need to start taking some chances. And doing an American Idol is not the right, you know, they're doing that because it's popular for TV. That's not where your reader, you know, the people that read books are not.
They're not watching American Idol.
They're not watching American Idol.
What are you trying to say there, Team Warren?
What I'm trying to say is I've watched one episode of American Idol, and that is an hour of my life I'm never getting back. I am never getting that hour back. If I want to see stuff like that, I'll go to a karaoke bar. I'm more entertained by that.
Throwing the gauntlet down.
Actually, American Idol though does have something that I will admit, authors can take a note from. All authors, both big press and small press authors, and self-published authors. You know, if you are published, you can get a lesson from this. It's when people go in and do that audition, the early auditions. And you see the people and they just fall flat, pardon the pun. They just fall flat on their asses. And then they walk out and they basically go, they don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what they're talking about. You know, I'm a talent. I know I'm a talent. Blah, 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 blah. You know,
right.
That is exactly how you sound when you really, really think that your work is as good as people tell you it is.
Yeah,
you know, people enjoy my work, and you know what? I'm thrilled. But I know for a fact, as many people are enjoying it today, they could forget about me tomorrow. And I write every book as if it was my last book.
Yeah,
and I create every podcast as if it were my last one. Keeps me humble and it keeps me sharp.
Right. Very good. Well, go ahead and give us your website and the things that are current right now that people can check out from T. Morris.
Last month, Billabob Battings and the Case of the Singing Sword wrapped up. It's going to be available on my website until I start doing Moravi Remastered. And you can find more about Billabob Battings and Moravia Remastered at tmorris.com. That's TEEMORRIS.com. And as far as Moravia Remastered, Moravia Remastered, Billabob Battings and the Case of the Singing Sword, all information on those podcasts are going to be at tmorris.com. You can't miss it. Currently, I am going to be gearing up. I'm also going to be gearing up for season two of Podcasting for Dummies, the companion podcast. And I've also got Give Us a Minute, which is the podcast for Joe, for all of us, for Cure. It is a cancer awareness podcast. Originally, the first season was going to be all about leiomyosarcoma, but we've been getting some listener contribution concerning breast cancer. Mm-hmm. And other things like that. And, you know, I just don't want to turn that down or say, well, we'll wait until the next season. You know, this is something that's happening now. And
right. I want
to make sure that that's taken care of. And then, of course, every month, the Survival Guide to Writing Fantasy. All that stuff can be found at tmorris.com. That's TEEMORRIS.com.
Great stuff. Man, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on my show. I've just been a big fan of yours from way back, you know, from the Moravia podcast, and as the guest who would not go away from the Dragon Page. And
I've become a fan of yours. I mean, if I'm ever in a bad mood, I just play that uninterrupted guest guest segment that inspired Starship Smackdown, or Sci-Fi Smackdown, I should say.
Yeah.
And
well, thank you.
And then, now I've got that great drop in, that damn straight, yo.
Thanks.
I love that stuff.
It just makes me even happier that we've become friends, and you know, I can't wait not only for episode 15 of Billy, but everything else that you're coming out with, and I can't wait to one day meet face to face if our schedules will ever align. So,
well, I'm definitely planning for Con Carolinas again. I'm definitely going to plan for Con Carolinas in the in 2008.
Good.
As far as anything else, you know, well, yeah, we'll just have to figure that one out. One step at a time.
That's right. Okay, well, thank you so much for being on here, and hope to have you on here again.
Oh, anytime, man, anytime.
Well, that was T. Morris, everybody. The interview that you probably thought would never end, and now we can move on to other things. I do have a sit-down, talk with Pod Culture crew, Brad and Christina, from a while ago. I'm going to go ahead and play it. Just because it's cool, you know, nice discussion about some geeky things. By the way, T. Morris mentioned his audio book, Billabob Battings, ended last month. Last month being June. We actually recorded this in June, and he said last month because I said, oh, it'll be out in July. And part of it was, but... Sigh. So, Pod Culture, sit down, should be on here maybe next week, maybe 2 weeks, something. Plus, hopefully, my first promo for Thesis of Fantasy. Hopefully. Well, I'm going to go, and hope you're still listening. If not, that's okay. And if you are, please tell somebody else, and tell them, no, really, it'll get a lot better. Trust me.